All right, well tonight, what I'd like to spend some time talking about is, we're continuing this theme of connection. We've been talking about one another connection and relationships. And so tonight, what I want us to focus on is building one another up and encouraging one another, which is always an encouraging and exciting thing to talk about. So we'll get into that in just a minute. But I want to talk about a conversation that I had with my daughter Evelyn yesterday. So I was talking with Evelyn, and we were sitting at the table, and she said to me, "Dad, you know, I wish I had power. I wish that I had power." And I was like, context, like, what's the context here? Where is this coming from? And so she watches a show called Sophia the First, and Sophia the First is this, you know, just this little princess that has this amazing song, and she has this, I forget what it's called. It's like a medallion, and it has special powers, and so she can make herself small. You know, there's all these different things that she can do with it. So I'm assuming that that's where it was coming from. And she said, "Dad, I wish I had power." And I stopped for a second, and I was like, "Okay, let me think about how I can make this a spiritual thing here." And I said to her, I was like, "Evelyn, you do have power." And I was like, "You have the power to encourage people. You have the power to build people up and inspire people. And you can do that through the words that you speak to people." And I think for us as Christians, one of the things that we forget about sometimes is the power that we have in our words and in our words to one another. And so I want to talk about that tonight, this special, you know, superpower that we have been blessed with that I think we just don't take advantage of and we don't capitalize on enough, especially amongst one another. So we'll get into that in just a second, but I wanted to ask first, what's the most encouraging thing someone has said or done for you lately? What's the most encouraging thing somebody has said to you lately or done for you lately? Go ahead, Mark.
When I was prepping the pig, Oscar came over at 5 in the morning and helped me prep the pig.
Wow.
And that was encouraging and uplifting. And, you know, I didn't really have to ask him that hard.
Yeah.
He just kind of volunteered.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Really encouraging.
That is really cool. Yep. Very encouraging. Yeah, go ahead, Dominic.
Last Sunday, I was over in New Jersey, and his brother in Jersey, who actually knows a little bit more about cars, was telling him which car trouble I have that I couldn't afford to get it all fixed. He said, "Okay, come with me. I have a computer. We're going to take out what's going on with your car." So he ring the car number, puts this computer in, checks out what the problems were. He said, "Okay, now we're going to go to Zone or whatever it's called, AutoZone. We're going to take a look at what we can get." And I said, "Well, some of these parts were a little expensive," said, "but we can take care of this and this. So, okay, so he went in and got the stuff. Then he said, "Okay, no, we're not done yet. We gotta go back to my house and then we're gonna check out the other stuff." So, "Okay, what other stuff?" So, "We gotta look at your fluids." He filled out all my fluids. He checked out my whole car. I said, "Okay, thanks. I gotta go home." I said, "Okay, well, let's go to the gas station." I said, "Why?" "So I gotta fill you up with gas." I said, "Well, you don't have to do that." I said, "No, I don't wanna do that." So
wow.
He filled out my car up with gas so I can go back home.
Wow.
I was just like, no one has ever done that for me.
Wow. Yeah. That's really cool. Yep. I feel encouraged just from these stories that you guys are sharing. I got to go to church in Jersey.
No.
Go ahead. Yeah, Scott.
I was talking with an old coach. He's got to be 65 years old. And
all right. Oh, really old.
Anyways, an old, I should say,
it's just
an older gentleman. He's an older gentleman.
Uh-huh.
He's been coaching baseball for over 40 years.
Anyway, I
told him that I wasn't coaching at Stack anymore. And he sent me a text that night. This is what he said. "As always, it was my pleasure to spend a few moments with you yesterday afternoon. Still extremely upset with what just transpired to one of the best people anywhere. I will certainly look for a very good opportunity that might make itself available to you. Again, you are a first-class gentleman,
and an outstanding baseball coach who has reached great heights in this very difficult profession. Take care, have a good day, and I hope your family continues to remain well. Sincerely and with respect, Norm Schoening.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, huge. That's amazing. Yep. Yep. Very cool. Yeah, Elaine.
I've been praying for my situation at work, and I've worked many years in a center without any appreciation and with a lot of friction and not a kind word. And I've worked very hard to go above and beyond. So I reached out to the director over at the hospital, and she met with me today, and she had so many kind, encouraging things to say that it just, it's what I needed to hear, and it gives me hope that we can really make things better going forward.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So I do voluntary counseling, and on Mondays we usually meet up to go about cases. And one of the women there, out of nowhere, just looked over at me and she says, I just have to tell you this. And I'm like, okay. She goes, you know, you are beautiful. And I was like, oh.
Okay, we're friends.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, thank you. I really appreciate that. But it came out of nowhere. I don't know her that well. She's not a lesbian. So I saw.
Okay. Yeah. Amen.
But that was nice. So much did he have to say?
Right, right. Yep. Amen. I'm not even gonna say anything else about that. Go ahead, Shauna.
I mean, we're in July now, but I still remember the email I got from one of my students at the end of June. Mm-hmm. And it was a really tough year for a lot of reasons. And this particular student had been isolated from his friends because of something he did on social media. He just had a tough year himself. And so I just kind of tried to work with him the whole year. But anyway, he sent me an email at the end of the year, and he said, you know, you didn't have to stick it out with me, and you were absolutely one of the best teachers I've ever had, and I'll always remember you.
Wow.
And he goes, I'll always stop by and see you. And I just thought it was so encouraging because it was on a day I really needed it.
Yeah.
But also, it's something you'll always remember why you got into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you can lose your way when you're in a profession where people are jaded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're supposed to be a service job in a way, and it's more of a calling rather than just a job.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can just lose your way.
Yeah. Yep.
And then when a kid says that to you, you're like, okay, that's why I got into it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Well, I appreciate all the encouraging texts last Wednesday. I had texted Steve. Well, Steve had texted me as he started the lesson last Wednesday. And I said, hey, man. I was like, are you supposed to be teaching the midweek lesson? And then I started getting text message after text message after text message. And I was like, oh, this is great. And I was like, Steve, what did you say? I texted that to him. I was like, my phone is blowing up right now. People, I didn't even know. People from, there's a guy from Massachusetts here or something like that. And he was texting me. I was like, okay, cool. But it was super encouraging. So I do, I appreciate that positive feedback and all those text messages. And so I went back and listened to the message because I wanted to hear, what Steve had to say. So I will say, it did take you a little bit long to say what the points were from the sermon. So don't forget to pay attention to the Sunday sermon, because we might, quiz at some point in here. I'm just kidding. But anyway, I do appreciate that encouragement. But, think about all these stories, and even just from hearing people share about their encouragement, I feel lifted up a little bit. But you think about what encouragement does, what building up does to us. I mean, it reinvigorates us. It helps us get back into the battle and into the fight, re-inspired and better for Christ. And the Bible talks about how we need to be like that for one another. So we need to think about this as parts of Christ's body. We need to help build one another up and encourage one another, especially when life is difficult, but also on a daily basis. That's what the Bible calls us to do. We'll look at that in a second. But this building up and encouraging is all towards the goal of becoming more like and obedient to Christ. Right? So it's not just I'm helping this person to feel better about themselves. I mean, that can be a good thing. It's not just I want to, you know, say some nice things to this person. No, it's I want to encourage this person. I want to inspire this person. I want to build this person up so they can be better for Christ. That's what we're trying to do in the body. That's what a healthy body does. Ephesians 4, verse 29. This will be the main verse that we focus on, and I'll read Hebrews 3, verse 13 as well. But Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And then Hebrews 3, verse 13, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, it's easy as we... Hebrews 3, 13 was the second one. The first one was Ephesians 4, verse 29. So, you know, it's easy for us as we get close to one another, as we really build family, as we get to know one another on a deeper level, for unwholesome, corrupt communication, unhelpful talk to come out of our mouths towards one another. You know, whether we're in front of each other, but oftentimes not in the presence of the person. Right? It's easy to, that's just part of being a human, it's part of human nature, to talk in certain ways about each other when we're not around, but also, you know, in front of somebody. And that's what Paul is writing here, and what he's saying here is that he's saying, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Nothing that would tear somebody down, discourage someone, break somebody's spirit or will, don't let any of that come out of your mouth, ever. Now that's a challenge, that's a high calling, but that's what we're called to do and what we're called to be as Christians. We need to be people who are trustworthy and safe, whether we're in front of each other or whether that person's not around. Right? We need to be safe people, we need to be encouraging people. And this begins in our hearts, in our minds, in how we think and feel about each other. Matthew 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if we find ourselves engaging in unwholesome talk about each other, we don't need to just check our mouths. We actually need to check our heart. Because out of our heart, out of the abundance of our heart, that our mouths speak. How are we thinking about one another? How do we feel about one another? Proverbs 10, verse 11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Isn't that what building up and encouraging one another does? It's like a fountain of life. It gives life. But the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And so back to Ephesians 4. Instead of that kind of talk, the unwholesome talk, let's make sure we're focused on the needs of one another and building each other up around those needs, again, towards helping each other be obedient to Christ. You know, Ephesians 4 says to build others up, but another way to think about that or to translate that is to edify others, build others up, so that it may minister grace to the hearer. That's, so if we take the literal translation, that's what it actually says, is that we're ministering grace to one another. And we have so many opportunities each day to make the grace of God known to one another. I mean, think about what your life would be like if you had a little bit more grace in your life. You know, it is there, but our duty and responsibility to one another is to minister grace towards one another, to make that known towards one another. You know, I remember sharing something with Ryan McCullough not all that long ago. I think it was maybe back in February, somewhere around there. But basically what had happened was Katie and I had a disagreement. We had an argument. And we, semi worked through things. We thought we had worked through things. And then that morning, it just carried on. And I responded in a way that was not helpful, was discouraging, and actually it was immature. And, you know, I reacted that way. I came back to the conversation. We worked through things and we felt settled and resolved. But I still just had this feeling in my heart that I was like, this just wasn't right. Like, I just didn't feel good about the way that I handled the situation. I don't know if you've ever, like, experienced that after a situation. Yeah. Probably not, because you guys just, you know, you guys are super righteous all the time. But anyway, this was what was going on with me. So I was like, you know what, I just need to talk to somebody about this. So I ended up calling Ryan, and we talked for a while. And again, I'm still beating myself up for the way that I responded, the way that I handled it. I'm like, I'm supposed to be, you know, a husband and a spiritual man and a leader of the household, and I'm supposed to be leading this church too, and I, you know, like, what is going on with me? And so I remember sharing this with him, and this is what he said to me. Because I explained through the whole circumstance, the whole situation, he said this. He said, "Sounds like you were a great example in going back and resolving things with her." And I was like, did I misexplain the story? Did everything come through the way that it actually happened? But you see, that's the grace of God. He could have easily focused on all the things that I had done wrong, which is what I was doing, but he focused on what I did right in the situation and actually held it up and didn't focus on any of those things at all. And that's the grace of God. The grace of God is, yeah, you made a mistake. And of course, like I said, I was remorseful about it. But you made a mistake. But look at all these good things that came out of it. And you're still, at your core, a good person. And I just remember feeling so relieved and inspired by that. I felt built up. I felt encouraged. And that's really what I wanted, what I needed to hear at that time. And, you know, when we think about the passage in Hebrews, it says to encourage, which means to call near, comfort, or to strongly urge one another. How often? It says daily. I mean, it says that we need to be daily doing this. And you think about the Bible, I mean, there's not many things that the Bible says to do on a daily basis, right? There are things that the Bible says that we should do, and we should probably do these things on a daily basis, but this specifically says on a daily basis. That we need to encourage one another, that we need to comfort one another, that we need to make this a daily habit of ours. Right? And we'll get to some of the roadblocks of that in just a second. We'll talk through those things, but we need to ask ourselves why. Why do we need to make that a daily habit, a regular thing that we're doing consistently? Well, and the scripture tells us, right? It says, so that we won't be hardened by sins. Deceitfulness, right? So we won't be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, sin has a very enticing way of getting into our minds, of getting into our hearts, of making us think that, no, this other way, this way contrary to the will of God is the way to live, is the thing that's going to help me, is the way that's going to, you know, help me feel better, is a better way to be. Right? But that's enticing. That's the lie. And so as we encourage one another to stay on track, to stay the course with God, it helps to remind us that, no, that's deceitful. That's not the way that God has called me to live. That's not the way that I actually want to live. And so we've got to do that for one another on a daily basis so that our hearts don't get hardened by that. And so whether we build up or encourage, let's make sure it's on a consistent basis and that it always moves people towards Christ. But I want to ask us, the group here, so I'm looking for some responses. What's the challenge with that? The Bible calls us to make it a daily habit, but I think if we're honest, many of us haven't made that a daily habit. So what's the challenge? Why the roadblock? Why is that the case? And I'll just say, I'm with you in this, okay? I have some ideas of my own about why it's a challenge, but I want to hear from you. What makes that such a challenge?
I think sometimes, you know, it's kind of the out of sight, out of mind mentality. Mm-hmm. We don't see each other except maybe twice a week.
Yeah.
And we're not making a daily decision to make a phone call at least,
mm-hmm.
then that's why that happens.
Yeah.
They're not in front of me, so I'm not thinking about it.
Okay.
So that's sometimes it's going to be.
Sure, yeah, I totally agree. That can be a big one. Yvette?
Sometimes we're just focused on our own problems.
Yep. Focus on ourselves. We get into our own zone, and then you factor that in there as well. I mean, it can certainly compound each other. Yeah. What else? Anything else you can think of? Yeah, Jeannie.
I never imagined like grace and encouragement like kind of being hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like when someone is in need of encouragement, it's usually also in need of grace at the same time.
Right.
So there's this like pride and/slash vulnerability that you have to put aside in order to accomplish that grace and encouragement to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And just love them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a roadblock. It's just like not being afraid to be vulnerable and to put your pride aside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you know, and sometimes I think our natural response, and I can be like this with myself, and so then it comes out in my relationships, is the first thing that I focus on is the mistake. And let me highlight the mistake, point out what you did wrong, and then try to correct your mistake. And then it's like, well, where's the encouragement? Where's the grace? And, you know, as I read this and you read through the scripture, especially in the New Testament, it's like, no, encouragement needs to be the first response. Grace needs to be the first response. That's how Christ is. That's exactly how God is. But yeah, anything else that you can think of?
Yeah. One more thing.
Sure.
I think it's just not a natural thing for us to be encouraged. We live in a world that doesn't encourage us. You know, we're really kind of brainwashed into the thinking a certain way. So it's always the negative first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to change your thinking the way Jesus wants you to have your relationship. So I think that's also an issue.
Right.
Just learning how to think like that.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'll just say one thing to that. Yeah. I mean, the world can be a discouraging place in and of itself, but remember, I mean, the culture is really not about living for Christ. I mean, that's not the society and the culture that we live in. And so, yeah, it is a big mind shift. I think that's a great point. But
yeah. I was remembering when the children were small, and we had learned through church programs and things that, you know, you should say things that are encouraging to your children.
Hmm.
But the truth is, we didn't know what that sounded like.
Hmm.
We had no idea. And so the default is just to say something superficial. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're such a pretty girl, you know, which is so superficial because it doesn't address their character or anything or build them up.
Right.
And it actually took someone handing us a piece of paper with statements on it that said, this is what you should say to your child.
Read the paper.
We're not any different with each other.
Hmm.
That sometimes it's just a matter of not having the words. I mean, you don't grow up with them.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't heard them or experienced them.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden you're supposed to be transformed into this new person, but you don't know, you don't have the words, you're not equipped.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, a lot of great points, I think all contributing factors. And I do think that a big part of it is that we're out of practice. And if we're out of practice with it, then, you know, obviously we go to our default mode. And so I wanted to just take a minute to talk about our life groups that we're going to be, like I said, launching in the fall. Because it has a lot to do with this whole idea of encouraging one another and building one another up, but also making the space and the time to do that, so that it's a regular practice, so that we're doing it in those groups, but also, you know, outside those groups as well. So, just a few things about the life groups. I mean, our life groups are very practical ways to, and give us unique opportunities to, build one another up and encourage one another. Now, the passage in Ephesians that I read mentions according to their needs.
Yeah.
right? That we encourage according to the need, or sorry, build up one another according to their needs. And so in order to get our needs met, we also need to make our needs known. I mean, do we know our own needs, for one thing? So, you know, we got to start there. But then also, we need to make our needs known to the people in our lives. And I know that that can be and is a scary place. I mean, I feel that in and of myself. But it requires vulnerability, right? It requires us to go to a place with God where we're understanding our own needs and then the courage and the willingness to communicate that and share that with others. And so your ability to be vulnerable, of course, will grow over time as your trust in the life group grows. And I'm not saying that I'm expecting everybody to just jump right in and you're just going to go a mile deep right away. I mean, that's probably not realistic. Some of us are just sort of made that way and equipped that way, but for the rest of us, it's going to take time. It's going to take some time. It's going to take trust. It's going to take some working through issues, but that's essentially where we need to go. But what is also essential is coming into the group, those life group meetings each week, with a spirit ready to know others' needs and to give. To come in with a spirit ready to build up, a spirit ready to encourage, a spirit that is ready to serve and help the group members in any way possible according to their needs. So let's be concerned with one another's needs and be set and ready to help meet those needs as the Spirit guides us. I wanted to mention this too. We've been having these life group leader trainings on Sundays. And I want to put this out there to everybody. The trainings have gone well so far. I mean, especially, you know, having Johnny come in last week, this past Sunday, Johnny Rivera, he led the life group training and it was awesome. It was very inspiring and very helpful. The life groups are something that Johnny is doing with his group in Central Jersey, and they've been doing it for a couple years now. They've seen a lot of positives out of that, and so, you know, he's been a helpful person for me to talk to. But I do want to say, you know, if you're ever interested in what we've talked about in those life group leader training sessions, they're recorded, and I'm happy to share those with you if you're interested in just knowing, you know, what's being talked about there. But I did want to mention that this past Sunday, one of the things we talked about was accountability and building a culture of accountability in our life groups. Now, I know that accountability can be a scary word for many of us. Honestly, there are times when I hear the word accountability and I'm like, oh, okay, what do we really mean here by accountability? But accountability is essential in growth. And you think about that. I mean, if we're going to grow and we're going to be our best selves for God, if we're going to grow into Christ-likeness, we need accountability. And just to give a specific example of accountability, you know, one of the things that, I mentioned Ryan before, one of the things that Ryan and I talk about or what's going on in our lives, you know, here's an issue that came up. And so then we come back to each other the next time we get together and we just say, how's it going in this particular area? And it's not a way of like, you know, how's it going in this area? Like, you know, kind of a judgment thing. Like, you better, you know, have fixed that at this point. It's no, like, I'm just trying to check in so I can pray for you, so I can offer help in any kind of way. That's what accountability is. It doesn't have to be this, you know, this deep and scary thing. It's just, you know, checking in with each other, encouraging one another, and building one another up. And again, it's done in a non-judgmental way, in a non-critical way, and in a spirit that desires to help. That's accountability. And in the life groups, what we're trying to build are groups where there is group accountability and responsibility, not just relying on the leader to do everything. We really want it to be a joint effort, a group effort. And so that takes all of us seeing the responsibility for one another. The first couple of life group sessions will be devoted to getting to know each other more, laying out the ground rules and expectations for the groups, and also opportunities for group members to share their own needs that they'd like help in. The life group leaders have also been trained in confidentiality, keeping these matters in the group. So I wanted to say that as well. We've been talking about that. An essential part of the trust element in these groups are going to be the confidentiality. Hey, you're bringing up this issue in the group. I'm not going to go out and talk to anybody else about this issue. It stays here in the group. I believe that's essential. And so what I want to spend just the last couple of minutes doing here is I want you to take out a sheet of paper, or if you're, you know, typing things on your phone, you can do that. I want to be really practical just about this whole concept of building one another up and really understanding our own needs. So I want you to think about first your own life. Okay, just think about your own life. You can think about the different dimensions of who you are, physically, mentally and emotionally, socially, and spiritually. So just you're thinking about your life as a whole. And I want you to think about, in those domains, what some of your own needs are. Okay, so the physical needs are probably, you know, pretty self-explanatory. We all need to get at least 8 hours of sleep at night. Everybody's doing that, right? Okay, great. Food, shelter, all those things. But when you get into mental and emotional needs, okay, what are your mental and emotional needs? I'll just say, you know, for myself, as I've considered the love languages, and, you know, I won't go into that at this point, but words of affirmation. I'm definitely a words person. I appreciate that. And so I see that as a need for me mentally and emotionally. Socially, what are your needs socially? Are you somebody that needs to spend a lot of time with people, maybe one-on-one, or maybe you just need a couple people in your life right now, or, you know, I don't know what your situation is, but what are some of your social needs right now? And then spiritually, think about where you are in your spiritual journey. What are some of the struggles with sin that you're having right now? Are you struggling with greed or complacency or, you know, whatever the case may be? What are some of the things you're struggling with? And so what are your needs around that particular area in your spiritual life? And of course, you know, you may not know all those things right off the top of your head right now, but I do encourage you to be thinking about those, especially as we're coming into this time of life groups. So the next thing I want you to do is I want you to think of three people in your life. So three people, you can think of a family member, a spiritual family member, somebody outside of your family, maybe a coworker. And I'll give you the exercise. You can go back and listen to the class later. You can think about this later. But I want you to think of those people in your life and then identify a spiritual, mental, emotional, or social need that you know that person has. Now, you might not know it off the top of your head, but I do encourage you to go back and think through it. Maybe somebody that you're close enough to that you can even ask them about it. But think about what their needs are. And then what you're going to do, and I, you know, we're not going to have time to do it now, but I want you to describe how you can help meet the need of that person this week and how you plan to do so. Okay, so you're thinking about three different people in your life. What are their needs? And how can you meet those things this week? And I encourage you to do this on a regular basis. Again, the Bible talks about meeting needs in terms of building one another up and encouraging one another on a daily basis. So I think this is a good start to doing that, to thinking through that. But of course, you know, we need to put it into practice as well. Okay? So I'm going to close out with a prayer, and then you can spend some time, you know, building somebody up and encouraging somebody. You can come up here and encourage me if you want. That's fine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We are so grateful for who you are, God, so grateful that you are our Father, God, that you are the creator of the universe, that you rule and reign over everything, and you do so from a place of love and grace. God, we need your grace on a daily basis. And I pray as we consider our own needs, God, that we would make those known to you, even though you already know those, and that we'd make those known to one another. And I pray that you give us a spirit. God, fill us with a spirit of just desiring to build one another up, to make it a habit to encourage one another on a daily basis. God, help us to see that we do really need each other. And I pray that we'd be willing to meet one another's needs, that we'd, again, build one another up, encourage one another on a daily basis, and that this would be a bright light in a dark place for you. God, we love you, and we thank you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.